Greetings and salutations from Rodney Brits. I've been privileged to have been asked by your wonderful minister to take the service again this Sunday, and it's indeed an honour and a privilege for me to do so in service of our Lord Jesus. So, before we begin, let us just bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to hear your word to us, and Lord, just to reflect on this life that you have given us, your people. Let us never forget to be thankful, Lord, for what you have done. And as we go through your word today, Lord, we pray that you will continue to work in our hearts and in our minds, and that your Holy Spirit will work in us and through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My dear friends, the first lesson comes to us from Hebrews chapter 10 and reading from verses 19 to 25. The little subtitle there is entitled, A Call to Persevere in Faith. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We turn now to John chapter 14 and reading from verses 1 to 4, and then skipping a few verses, reading from verses 15 to 27. John 14, 1 to 4, 15 to 27, for those who would like to follow in your own Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Then picking up on verse 14, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sent in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen. And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word. To his name be all glory, honor, and praise. My dear friends, the text for today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, and it says this. Just let us reflect on this just for a moment. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We are currently living in a very painful season of human history. Very visible these days with modern tech. We see and read of wars and rumors of war all around us. Good is called evil and evil good. The moral character of many people has declined steadily over the past few years. Divorce is brutalizing marriages. Babies are being aborted in the womb. Cancer and disease are kind of ravaging the bodies of many. And on top of that, we also see that many today just abuse and blaspheme God, who is belittled and marginalized, along with us, his people. And it seems as things could not get any worse for us. Which reminds me, cheer up. Things could be worse. So, I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. Anyway, that's supposed to be a bit of a joke, but let's continue with what my thoughts are on this whole topic. So, what do we do in times such as this? These difficult times. Most of us have used the old adage, watch where you're going. And we often use this phrase with the intention of helping someone to avoid falling or tripping or otherwise hurting themselves or even embarrassing themselves. And we would do well to make a spiritual application of this adage as well, because I have good news for those who do. The Bible, in different words, encourages us to do just that, to watch ourselves. Watch where we're going. Keep looking up. Remain focused on Jesus, the author and giver of life. The scriptures are full of those texts. Staying focused on Jesus gives us a profound sense of hope and therefore perseverance that allows us to carry on in the most difficult circumstances. Philippians chapter 3 says this, Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. The Bible also says in Hebrews, Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. There is a hope. A hope that is without saying. A hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. So, we need to hold fast? And that implies that something good and something bad is coming. But we need to remember that he who promised in the past is faithful now and in the future. We can clearly see that we are talking about something that is approaching us because the Bible says so clearly. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so that much the more you see the day approaching. From this text, we can conclude that there is a hope for a future event, and there is a promise that was given in the past. You know, Isaiah says this, I am God, there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You see, what the world forgets is that God is sovereign and rules and reigns over it. And these words from Isaiah are amazing because he tells us that God declares the end from the beginning. He sees everything and he knows it. And you know what the other good news is he actually has given us how it all ends in Revelation and in the book of Daniel and in other prophetic books. You see, God wants us to know. And his plans are not dependent on our faithfulness or the level of our spirituality, our decision to walk with the Lord or not. Well, I think that will affect our place in heaven or in eternal separation. But the end of the story is that God is fulfilling his promises. And he will do it in spite of us. So we can stand firm on this. He who promised is faithful. God has promised and he is faithful, folks. There are a few things in our life experiences that are as important as hope. It's a commodity that affects our worldview, our attitudes, and yes, even our emotions. The presence of hope in our lives gives us a bit of a kind of a roller coaster atmosphere from time to time. When we are driven by our own emotions and we go up and down. One hopes for something to happen and when it does, our attitude and emotions soar. But when it doesn't happen for us, they kind of plunge and we find ourselves in the doldrums. Some hope for a promotion at work, or for good marks on an exam. It's also true in relationships. Some are in hope of getting attention of a particular person, and when that happens, the heart soars and warms. If it doesn't, the heart kind of aches, and we feel sad. You see, it's the normal course of life for all of us here on earth. This tells us that hope always requires an object. We all have thoughts or wishes at times, hoping that they'd come true. While the roller coaster ride of worldly hope will remain for as long as we live here on earth, there is a hope that has exclusive characteristics that has no ups or downs associated with it. Because this hope will come to pass for everyone who has it. It is called a divine hope that is given to us by God through his Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's be reminded again from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Friends, when the object of our hope is focused on Jesus Christ our Lord, there is no potential disappointment that awaits us. The hope we have, no matter what we may experience in life, is immutable. Immutable is a word that means unchangeable. And Christ does not change, and He is the object of our hope. Then the hope we have in Him assures us of a future that is nothing but nothing like the present. Trials and tribulations cannot change that hope. Persecutions in our lives cannot change that hope, because our object of hope is unchangeable. There are two things for us to keep in mind until we experience the fullness of this promised hope in Him. First, someday we will walk by sight and not by faith, as John chapter 3 reminds us in 1 John. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And secondly, someday we will not need to live with hope as we are instructed by Paul in Romans. Romans chapter 8. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? My dear friends, in these last and perilous days, our hope should not be waning, but it should be soaring and growing. We, for the first time in church history, I believe that we live in a generation that is witnessing and seeing the day approaching. What day, you ask, is that? It's the day we're all hoping for. Titus chapter 3 gives us the answer. It is us looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It will be that moment, that time, when we meet the Lord in the air. We will forever be with Him. We won't need to hope for His coming, for our blessed hope will have become a reality. We won't have a roller coaster ride of attitude and emotions, because we will be like Him and see Him as He is. There is one thing we must always keep in mind as we await this glorious day, and that is, God's promises are as true when they were said as when they are seen. That's a very important point. That means we don't have to find out if what we are hoping for is going to happen, but rather we can face each day knowing today could be the day that it does, because God said so. He who promised is faithful. And because God is the object of our hope, there are no unknown outcomes like we have as we live on this earth. All that He has promised to those who belong to Him will surely come to pass. And so, my dear friends, biblical hope is a reality and not a feeling. Biblical hope carries no doubt. Biblical hope has a secure foundation upon which we base our lives, believing that God always keeps his promises. Hope, or confident assurance, can be ours when we trust the words of Jesus in John 6, when he says, "Very truly," I like the other translation that says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." But I'm using a newer translation here. It says, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." Accepting that gift of eternal life means our hope is no longer filled with doubt, but rather has as its sure foundation the whole of God's word, the entirety of God's character, and the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Dear friends, I want to leave you with a message of hope today. This living hope will carry us through all the trials and tribulations of life, but it will also carry us through all the joys and celebrations of life. Christ is our living hope. Look up. The day is approaching. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we reflect on your word and as we think about hope, we pray, Lord, that when our hope wanes, you will draw us back to the fact that our hope is found in you and not within ourselves. And so, Lord, fill us with this hope as you fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may look forward to the day when you will meet us and we will see you face to face. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to serve you again. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to do so. Bye-bye.